Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When my guest this week said she would be happy to come on the show, I was floored. She's inundated with press requests right now. She's leading the charge in shutting down online harassment for journalists. She just won her case against her online harasser. She just met with the Attorney General. She's trying to change laws in Canada to protect people from idiots. Oh yeah, plus she has one of the most successful broadcasting careers ever. Sportsnet, Leafs TV, Breakfast Television, and now Steele and Vance on Czech TV. She's wonderful. She's got an amazing story. She's my guest this week on Do Did Will, the Story of People podcast. It's Jody Vance. Jody Vance, welcome to Do Did Will, the Story of People podcast.
This is so cool. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate the time. Always been a big fan of what you do and being an Ontario boy. I moved out here in 2005. I remember seeing you on Leafs TV, Sportsnet, all that fun stuff out there. And then I came out here and had to be reintroduced to local media and all these things to kind of wrap my head around what was going on in British Columbia. And there's Jody. And I was like, hey, there she is. It's great. So it's been a busy couple of weeks for you, but I appreciate the time coming on this little show. So thank you so much, my friend. Welcome to the show.
I'm excited about this.
I am too. There's lots to talk about. I mean, but as I come through this show and I start talking about people's journey and a few of the things that are going on, I have wanted to talk to you for a long time on the old version of my show and this one. So this has worked out great because I do think that you've got a great story and a great journey, and I love telling those things on this thing. So there we go. So cool. Let's do a little intro for everybody. Jody Vance, what do you do?
What do I do? I'm a mom. I'm very proud of being a mom. I balance work life. I love to work. I love to create. I love to do what you're doing right now, pull stories from people. It began very early days. I wanted to be a sportscaster on TV. You referenced, you know, Leafs TV and Sportsnet and all that. And just as a little kid, I wanted to be a sportscaster on TV. And that was something I said out loud from a very young age, much to the chagrin of my mother. She was like, what do you mean? And then I just got on this path of learning the craft of radio and then working my way up that ladder from handing out stickers in a shopping mall and driving a community cruiser to telling everybody I wanted to be on camera doing sports. And then I found myself doing that. And I just was like, wow, okay, this is a great opportunity. Maybe they'll give me a chance to do it again sometime. And it was like the next day. And then it just grew from there. And honestly, I kind of follow the mantra of, you know, do the thing and it'll give you the energy to do the thing and nice. Aim high, you know, to pull from some of like the mentors of the world. I can drop big names, but just, you know, pick your mentor. My grandmother always was like, you know, just make sure you love what you do because you love to work hard. So you might as well love your work. So
yeah.
I just started, you know, unpacking my broadcast want, and it just grew in various ways. So I do tell stories with people. Like I'm not an expert on really anything, to be honest with you, but I'm hungry for knowledge. So when I get to interview an expert, I feel like I'm, you know, going to university. I feel like I'm, you know, so fortunate to get to share even a few minutes, sometimes longer. I'm not used to the tables being turned like this, quite frankly. I'm better at asking questions than answering them. I can ramble all day long. So my do is I'm a storyteller, and I do it on camera, and I do it on audio, podcast, radio, what have you. I'm a broadcast pirate. I'm owned by no one and work for everyone.
That's the best, because you the story of people is what I named this, because it's I am fascinated with people's journey and the story of people. And going into sports broadcasting, would have been tough when you were coming into it, I would imagine. There wasn't a ton of women on the air at that point. TSN did had a little bit Sportsnet, but you guys, you're part of this first wave, I think, really, honestly, of people that were on, and I thought it was great. I mean, I always thought there was a calmness about your the way you broadcast it. It carries over now, which is why you've been on the list of me to be able to speak to, because I find that there's some people that are very like businessy and these are the sports and this and that, but there's a nice cadence to how you do your job, and I think that would transpire and move into the storytelling bit that you like to do. Do you feel comfortable pulling these stories out of people? Like, what's your favorite kind of episode for you? Like, as somebody who investigates stories and tries to pull them out of people, what's like the best feeling for you? Pulling those stories out of these people, because not everybody gives you everything. Some people you really have to pull out, and I'm learning about pulling things out of people. But you're a broadcaster, so you've had to experience all the ups and downs of it. But what's the best feeling for you in this space?
When I learn something, you know, a lot of people ask, you know, how do you know so much about so much? And then the answer to that is I really don't know everything about everything. And I'm curious, right? I'm listening to you as you're asking your question. And I'm thinking to myself, how do I answer that? Oh, I don't know. You know, I loved hanging out with Wayne Gretzky for a day and learning about Wayne and how everybody was so curious and careful with him. And then how he was very, you know, normal and kind, and I saw him say hello to 200 people and everybody introduced themselves by name. And then he did an hour and a half event where he signed a bazillion autographs. And they came through that same VIP group and he said goodbye to everybody by name. Like, those are the moments where I'm like, oh, what just happened? You know, when I got to hang out with Wade Belak, when I did Wait a Minute with Wade, and we didn't plan anything. We literally did not ever plan an episode of that. And thank goodness for amazing producers. Philomena Gennaro Lowry comes to mind. She would comb through all of the craziness that we would put together, that we would just viscerally experience together. And then she'd make this magical package for our viewer that would sort of share our experience that day. And you know, it's that kind of creation. I don't do it by myself. There are always people, you know, supporting. There are people behind the camera. There are people in my ear rooting me on. There are people behind the scenes who are putting together the visuals. But ultimately, it's like how I imagine adrenaline sports for other people. You know, it is very scary to have just, because I edit my own, let's say for Seeking Stanley in 2011. This is probably one of my favorite, if my favorite dids. In 2011, doing the post-game show for CBC, when the Canucks were going to the Stanley Cup final, it was myself and an editor sitting in a room watching the game, and I would choose what we're cutting. And every game in the final series felt like, or in the lead up to the finals anyway, it was like overtime. Every game went into overtime. Cutting a highlight pack to go to overtime is precarious because you're trying to tell the story of the game and yet you don't know which way it's going. And 3 minutes from that last goal, winning goal, you have to be on set to deliver it. You know, talk about not caring whether or not I had lipstick on. You know what I mean? I was like running around barefoot and then I'd slip into my fancy shoes and I'd deliver the. But when I'm standing up there and my heart is pounding, hoping that I'm going to get it right, right? There's no script. I did it. I cut it. I mean, I've got my notes for my highlights. I know, you know, what's coming next, but I'm oftentimes, you know, check the score, check the time, check the, okay, this is what's happening and doing those highlights. And I'm just terrified if I come across calm.
That's the pro of it. I mean, it's the funny thing is I'm amazed at the pros like yourselves that can act on the fly and do that. This is a little program on Restream. I try to produce a little bit on the fly to reduce my post work just because of timing and all the rest of it. But the idea of, I think on all the shows I've done, the idea of like, you've got 1 minute, you know, you can have this guest right now. We got 1 minute and you got to go. And you're like, how do we walk this thing and prep? And so I like to take those stories that you just told and go, okay, great. How can I get better at that if something gets thrown at me at the last minute or whatever? So I guess you're just consistently learning.
It's fun to not have a net, you know, it's terrifying and also gratifying. Cause let me tell you, most every day, including today, I start by saying, why me? I mean, imposter syndrome much. And then I do the thing and I'm like, you know what? That was pretty good. That was cool. And it's that roller coaster of life that makes you feel like, you know, this is fun. This is living. This is.
Yeah. Well, why
putting
you,
it out there.
Why you should always be. It should always be a yes. I mean, you inspire people. You've been on the air for a long time. I think that you're the leader or part of the leader of women that really help shape the landscape of media in this country. And I've been watching you for a while. I'm a believer in that. I really do. I've been watching you for a while. And when I heard that you had this starting, and I was like, this is great, because your Twitter follow is amazing. And then the other side of it is you've got this, you know, like Steele and Vance, to talk about two people who I love listening to individually, and then they have a show together. And then, you know,
isn't that picture crazy though?
That's amazing.
Can you just, like, that picture is so not the typical headshot for a show. And Brad McLeod, one of the producers that worked on our show, creative guy, chose that. He goes, am I crazy? And I'm like, nothing really personifies my crazy with Linda's, like, are you serious, Vance, right now? And we just get along. We're super different. We are very different people, and yet we're really good friends. And I think this world needs more people who don't necessarily view the world the same, but absolutely respect and adore each other and are willing to link arms and move forward in a good way. So thank you for the praise of Steele and Vance. We own that show.
It's
she and
I was
going to
ask you. I was going to ask you about that, because Check to me, it's been awesome. The landscape of media changes consistently. We're all, you know, unfortunately, people that we know, they lose. I mean, I'm sure you've been let go and rehired and let go and rehired. And it's just, it's got to be a hit on the ego, especially when you've been on, I know a few media people that haven't gotten over it, you know, where they've gotten let go. And it's like, wow, I'm not on TV anymore. No one's listening to me. No one cares about what I have to say anymore. It's just this weird kind of thing. So to have you guys come together, sorry, you ladies come together and put together this great
show. You can call us guys. I'm good with it.
It's all good. I just, whatever. I think Check has done an amazing job with, like, Taylor and bringing those guys back after they got let go. And when that insanity of Team 1040 getting blown up, which just boggled my mind.
Like Donnie and Dolly, the team. I love those guys.
I know.
No matter what our Twitter says.
You got a little battle going with them, which is great.
Stealing my chips.
Check to me seems like the perfect television network for this thing. And they give you ownership, and it's sort of like, you don't need to get into the minutiae per se, but how does it work with
I don't
this?
Mind is getting it, into it.
Yeah.
So no,
how does it work having a show like this then with them?
I'm super proud to talk about this, because Check is North America's only employee-owned media outlet. So when somebody wants to say, oh, you work for big corporate media and you're funded by blah, blah, blah. No, we're actually not. We're not. Check is an amazing independent entity. And I think a design model that should be emulated in other jurisdictions, because there's too much homogenization in media where you see the same sort of headline bouncing through, particularly in the US, not so much in Canada, but literally the same script being used in quote unquote local, when that's not at all what's happening. It's all being generated out of one sort of central hub. Now with our show with Check, we were approached to be a part of it. I was working with the Orca.ca. I was writing a weekly column and doing my podcast with George Affleck, Unspun, which is a BC political podcast, or a podcast that unspins the politics here. Then when Linda and I first, long story short, we got together and Linda was like, we should do something together. I'm like, well, let's do a podcast, start there and we'll see what happens. And that became of interest to check. And they thought, well, if you're going to do a podcast, maybe we could put that on TV.
Yeah.
And we started going, well, what would that look like? And it happened very, very quickly. This is us actually sitting on Donnie and Dolly's set. We're holding up cheese.
So funny.
Mocking them a little bit last week. It was very funny. But the funny part, the cool part is when Czech really quickly made the decision to be like, we would like to do the practical side of this show. Obviously, we can't afford to pay you and Linda, you know, your market value. And Linda and I were like, okay, well, we're not doing this for free. And then It was like, well, what if we own the show and we have full control over what we do, but you guys provide us with the studio, you provide us with some graphics, you know, there's some support in the technical side, but we bring the content and we bring sponsors and we find, you know, you basically lease the show from us. Then it was so funny. I'm so proud of this. Honestly, I love when you put those photos up. We decided on
it's such a good looking show.
Thank you. We decided on what we would do it for, knowing how much work would go into it weekly. And we negotiated a price that Linda and I were both comfortable with, that they would lease the show for a guaranteed 42-week season. Wow. And then there are other pieces of the puzzle where when there's interest in sponsorship, there's a share there, but Czech makes its money back because it sells the commercial time, traditional commercial time. So there's like a real balance to the formula for this. But the very best part of this is we book the guests. We say what we want. We drink wine. We eat chips.
Amazing.
Linda swore on episode 3. My whole goal was to make Linda Steele swear on TV, and she did. And, you know, if people complain, if people, you know, call up Czech and say, I don't like the fact that they're doing this, they're like, well, you know, you can complain to them because they own the show.
It reminds me of old school television a little bit. I grew up in Ontario. We had I had Carolyn Frolic on a little while ago, and she was on the new VR in Barrie, Ontario. Which I said to her, I'm like, this is like that harkens back to me growing up. That's like Gilligan's Island, the Beachcombers. It was the everything. But then There was independent news from Peterborough. There was this and that. So Czech has always reminded me of that, and I think it's the perfect home for you guys. And the fact that they, you know, I guess the other question to that, we're on Dew for a while here, but there's a lot to talk about in Dew here. But now how much work is it? Because now you own it, but then you've got to book the guests. And then, you know, how is it working with the cutting the micro content and all this stuff that kind of has to go with it? Has your workload doubled now that you own it? Has it become a little bit easier because they give
you know, it's easier.
It's easier.
Yeah. Okay. It's easier because there's no layers of management to, you know, started the first show and we had like headlines because Linda comes from news and there's always been headlines. And I was like, okay, well, I don't know if we need headlines, but if you feel like we need headlines, we should have headlines. And the first show we had headlines. And I'm like, I don't think we need headlines. And Linda's like, you're right. We don't. Okay. We don't have headlines anymore.
Right.
That's how difficult that was. Okay, typically on a show, it doesn't go like that. It's got to go through like, oh, how much time did we put in it? Where's the graphics people? Where's the producer? Where's the executive producer? Where's the boss? Where's the manager? Where's the No, it's two, which also puts us in a position where like it's not scripted. We don't write it down. This is actually authentic conversation. Yeah. And our first episode we ever did, our premiere, that morning the queen died. You want to talk about planning a show and then changing it
on the fly, right?
You know, and then Jan Arden's our first guest. She's our unofficial co-host on the show, huge supporter. She flew herself up, put herself out and hung out with us, and she's been on a couple of times. You know what's crazy about this show is I like on a flyer email Dr. Bonnie Henry to her regular email address. I'm like, I'm not sure. And maybe an in-studio would be better than virtual. And yeah, sure. I'm there. And she came and she hung out. John Horgan gave an exit interview. David Eby came in studio. You know, we have legitimate, unbelievable, I don't want to call it luck, but success in booking our guests. When we invite people to come, I guess, and hopefully this doesn't sound full of ourselves, but I guess the fact that we do have the experience, that we are the veteran broadcasters, that we do have the reputations that we have, it's not all that hard to book a guest. Like,
no, as opposed to some,
if they
dude,
have time, they're coming in.
As opposed to some guy that no one knows in a basement that has a little fake brick wall in a podcast, but reaches out to said people like yourself and says, if you have a moment, and you very nicely say yes. So I know that feeling of getting the get, because it's a great feeling, and it's been a good run since I've changed formats, especially. It's been a very wonderful experience to be able to talk to people like yourself, because it, yeah.
Is that fake brick? Wait,
it's fake.
I might
brick
need to cancel
day.
This. Do we have to, I mean,
I don't know if I put it in the guest deck that I sent to you, that
you
I,
better.
It's in front. And it's funny, because a couple of weeks ago, or I just did a one with Brittle Star, and when he came on,
oh,
and,
I love
he,
him.
And he goes, hey, it's the fake brick wall podcast thing. I'm like, because he has one too. And we it was just a funny thing. You know, the secret's out a little bit.
This is real, guys.
We let them out one at a time.
Yeah.
So, well, who wouldn't want to? I mean, you two, look at you two. You guys are just wonderful. You're amazing. You pull content out. You produce content. I loved Linda's, like, on her side, on your side, when she did that at CTV, it was amazing.
Yeah,
really going
side,
after
yeah.
it. And you guys aren't afraid to just get the stories out. And you like to rattle a cage a little bit. And I love that. It's great.
Okay.
It's perfect. It's perfect.
Can I give a shout out? One shout out on Steel and Vance, because we could not do it without the two people who work behind the scenes. We don't have a full control room. We have Derek Wong and Nina Savage. You want to talk about technically putting together a show in 2023? They do the jobs of 20 people behind the scenes. They make miracles. They make magic happen. We are the MacGyver of television, and it is so incredibly gratifying to produce television that garners the response that you're giving it here with a team of four of us, five of us, if you add in our graphics person, who is exceptional back at Check. But there's basically
so
four of us.
Check provides, so Check, that's sort of part of the deal. Is like, we need someone that's going to help us produce live and all the rest of it as well. Is that sort of part of the deal? Or did you have to go find them?
It's Oh Boy Studios, which also does Donnie and Dolly the Team, as well as Mo Amir's This Is Van Color. We all share a studio that's rented by Check in Vancouver. So basically, Check is wanting to expand into Metro Vancouver, into the Lower Mainland, because they've been very niche and celebrated as a Vancouver Island station, but they've broadened out a bit. And Linda and I are part of wanting to do that, because we're local. We want to take international, national, and provincial news and land it on your kitchen table and say, you know what, we'll watch the news for you. Here's what you need to know each week.
Amazing.
We'll have some fun doing it, and follow along.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Welcome to the Snapple Market Auditory Experience. Close your eyes. Imagine you're walking into your neighborhood store. You make your way to the back and reach for your favorite Snapple flavor. You can't wait. You take a sip. Whoa, that's a lot of flavor. What flavor are you holding? Now open your eyes and check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavorful Snapple near you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I could spend a lot of time on Dew. We're going to come back to sort of what's in the news with you right now. But I do. You touched a little bit on it. But Jody, how did you do it? How did you get to this spot here where we're at now with the show? But the journey that takes you at least TV. Can you dive in a little bit?
All the way back?
Well, I mean, you can, let me use a word, you can pricey whatever you want to, but you feel free to just add whatever. It's really, but how did you get to this spot of just feeling so comfortable within yourself to have this amazing space to be able to be confident enough to, yep, check, yeah, we got this, we're going to own this thing, we're going to do this. Like, I mean, there's a journey there. There's hirings, there's firings, there's movements, there's moves, all these different things that kind of contribute to it. But how did you do it?
Well, my school counselor called me a conscientious and tenacious person. And then I promptly went to a dictionary because we couldn't Google back then and looked up those words. But conscientious and tenacious. So I would say that tenacity helps me very much in my do. Because I just look at something and I think, I want to try that. And I, of course, have fear that I won't be able to, but I don't fear failure in the sense of, oh, it'll hurt my ego or what will I do? Because I'm a really hard worker. I loved being a waitress. I worked in kitchens. I have my red seal in culinary. I'll be the best damn Subway sandwich artist you've ever seen in your life if I need to make a paycheck. I am not above working hard, wherever and whatever that means.
Yeah.
Which gives me some freedom in saying, you know what, if I try this and it doesn't work, okay. Okay. But in my still doing, I always try to aim high and I go with the hell yes. And if something is a hell no, or even just a then it's a no for me. I'm old enough now, I'm 55 years old, and I started in this industry when I was 21. So I it was 1988 at Bruce Allen's Christmas party. I was bartending. Jeez. And I said it out loud to everybody who would listen to me. And that is my advice. If you're listening right now because you want to do what I'm doing, don't listen to the people who tell you you can't do it. Listen to your gut and follow your path. But understand that only like 2% of people actually make a living doing it. So have something else to pay your rent and, you know, unless you're independently wealthy, which is great for you if you are. But there's no like, I'm walking in and I'm covering hockey. Let me tell you how many years I spent not covering hockey on my goal of being, at first I wanted to be Jim Robson. I don't know if you can see the photo. There's a photo behind me of Jim.
Yeah.
Can you see that?
Yeah, I can.
So that's from Jim. Can you? There it is. That's
Back
1970.
There.
That's the first Canucks season. Wow. And that's Jim Robson sitting in the booth, play by play. He signed it on the back. He is my hero. He is, I'm so blessed to have somebody like Jim in my life who has been supporting me since the very earliest of days. If you say it out loud, if you say, I want to be a sportscaster on TV, and somebody looks at you and goes, good luck with that, turn from that person and say it to someone else. And then when they go, oh my gosh, that's great, go, you're my people.
That's right.
Let's go.
Yeah. I'm a big proponent. So I get joy from other people's joy. All right. So when they go after something and they go for it, I actually put an episode out last week. Only going to cross promote one time here.
Go ahead.
I put an episode out, last week about the importance of saying the word yes. Okay. And if you say yes, it actually turned into a coffee mug, I think, because I think I'm going to turn it into say yes so you can do. Okay.
Oh, good one.
Right?
I want one. If you do that,
I'll send you one. I think it's a new thing.
I would like
it lends itself to a whole bunch of different things. I just got to send in my copy right here. One sec.
There you go. Load up. I won't tell anybody. Nobody will know.
No one's. Yeah. Yeah. Until we tweet this and then people will listen.
Exactly.
But yeah. Say yes so you can do. So I'm a massive proponent of that. I agree with you 1,000%. There's cliches all day about the journey is the prize. And sort of,
but I'm telling you,
you know,
the story though, with, you know, the first opportunity I got was to say yes in that, you know, bartending at Bruce Allen's Christmas party and trying my best in a situation where everybody was having a good time. And I just tried to make it fun for everybody and be in the moment. And then somebody offered me a job in radio because I said, I want to be a sportscaster on TV. And they're like, oh, well, I'm launching a radio station, $10 an hour, call me tomorrow.
Yeah.
That was my foray into becoming a community cruiser reporter for AM 600 CHRX. But then fast forward 12 years, and I'm standing in Vancouver Television doing sports. I was hired to do sports on the weekends because of saying yes over the course of my career and also saying what I wanted to do. I got the opportunity to do sport. I was the only person in the sports department at that television station when it started. Talk about in over your head.
Right. Woo!
But I did it and people helped me and they made it happen. But then I took on a Sunday, I was asked to give this man from Toronto a tour of our station because it's digital and it's da-da-da. Jody, would you mind giving him a tour? I'm like, sure, no problem. And I'm walking around with this guy and I'm like, here's the control room and this is editing and da-da-da-da-da. And I'm walking him through and then I get back and I'm like, and this is where I stand and this is my desk. And he's like, so where do you see yourself? You know, what's your five-year plan or whatever? I said, well, I want to be the first woman on the desk at S3, which in that moment, because it was Vancouver Television was a CTV property and independent, like when you talked about the new VR, similar. And I had heard that there was a new sports network coming called S3. That was like the working title for Sportsnet. And I said, I want to be the first woman on the desk at S3. Little did I know the guy that I was touring around was Scott Moore, the guy who created Sportsnet. And he tells the story that in that moment, he decided I would be.
Isn't that amazing? You talked about it earlier, manifesting it and saying it. We have similar in that regard, where I was exactly the same way, where I'm like, I gotta do it. It's gonna happen. And I sent you the user deck of what this show is, and there's a picture of me at Wembley, and that was my moment. I saw the Freddie Mercury thing, and it's like I have to do a show at Wembley, and there it was. So manifesting it, Jody. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Manifesting it, making it, and putting it out into the universe. And because there's so
many. You believe in you.
Yeah, and you're the only one that's going to believe. You're the only one realistically that's going to believe in you. I mean, and I mean that, like, I'm not saying discounting parents and grandparents and all the rest of it. You can get all the motivational speaking in the world from your parents. You can do this. You're going to do this, and it's going to be amazing. And you can feel confident. But unless you actually go and kick that door down that people are offering, it's not gonna happen, because it's just so competitive, and especially women in sports at that time, you know. And good on Scott to recognize that and give you that opportunity, you know, which is.
And he also, I have to tell you, when he flew me out to Sportsnet, because I was part of the dress rehearsal show, and then that summer of 1999, I flew out to fill in on the desk. I filled in with Brad Fay and Jamie Campbell, Mike Toth, and Darren Millard, that crew. But then I stayed for an extra week. He had me fill in for Darren Drager, who at the time was doing the Supper Hour sportscast. But my very first time on the desk at Sportsnet, I only did the Pacific region. Like, he kind of said, why don't you talk to your people? You've been doing sports out there already, so it'll feel comfortable and you can. So yeah. I went up on the desk, and let me tell you, I did my best impression of Don Taylor. I did my best impression of Brad Fay or Jamie Campbell or Darren. I tried to be one of the guys so hard, and I stepped down after, and it's like 1 a.m. Eastern when it wrapped up on the Pacific region. And Scott was in the building, and I didn't realize he had been sitting in the control room. This is the type of leader this man is. And he came up on set beside the stage, and I walked down, and he goes, you know what? That was great. That was really great. But you were trying to be one of the guys. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. And he goes, I want you to be you. And then he said something that changed my life. And this is, it's right at this time. He said something that changed my life. He said, I want 100% Jody. I want you to absolutely be your authentic self, so much so that I need to pull you back. I want you to push the envelope so far that you break through the other side. And when you step in it, because you will, I will save you. I will rescue you. I will stick up for you. I will protect you. And he gave me all of the right to be myself all the time. So I only know how to do myself. So when somebody says, I need you to fit into this little box right here, I'm like, okay.
I'm gonna smash that.
But I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to do that. And they're like, but we'll give you this much money to do it. And I'm like, but see, you're not hearing me, because I don't know how to do that. I only know how to be this. I'm a lot, but I am me.
No, but but authenticity is everything. And that's, you know, and that's why you've been a major get for me. You seem the most one of the most authentic people out there from that standpoint. And which is why when this show came to be with you and Linda, and I was like, well, this is just going to be the best thing ever, because you got two incredibly authentic people together on set that politely don't care what you think.
That's our next mug. That's writing right. that down. Politely don't
we'll trade mugs.
Care.
You send me that one, and I'll send you. All right. I'll send you. Okay. So, wow. I could keep you for hours here. There's so much I want to talk to you about, but we'll leave that for a part two. But I want to get into what's going on in the news right now, but I definitely want to talk about what will you do next? And maybe that ties into a little bit about what's been happening and where you want to see the future of the legal system in Canada. But what will you do next for Jody, Steel & Vance, pods, everything, media? What's your plan?
My plan is to keep building on what I am currently doing. I get asked a lot if I want a future in politics. I do not want a future in politics. I was so shocked when people, because we just had the municipal election here last October. A year ago, people were like, are you running for mayor? And I'm like, are you out of your mind? Can you imagine me at a council meeting? Oh my goodness. No. And I've had other sort of feelers like, yeah, you should think about it. I'm like, that's just not for me. It's not for me. That said, I do have a couple of things that I would like to change. And one of them very much in the forefront right now with the fact that on March the 10th, 2023, after 7 long years, I faced my perpetrator, somebody who had criminally harassed me since 2015. He had harassed me. I'd never said his name publicly. I'd never said his name out loud until March the 10th of this year. And I have known his name and possessed his photograph for years. So I faced him in court. I stayed in my lane for all of those years, thinking the justice system will play out as it should. I'm trusting of the system. And I believe that those who do wrong will be held to account. Online harassment is absolutely off the hook, out of control globally. But what we're seeing in Canada, I have to right now say I am a 55-year-old white woman of means, and I can't get justice. I can only imagine what a young woman of color feels like right now. Somebody who's struggling financially to think that they might be able to navigate the justice system in a way that is meaningful, because now I'm filing a civil suit that's going to cost tens of thousands of dollars. It's probably going to cost me a year's salary just to try and get some meaningful consequences for this person. And therein lies my next mission. Is I need to change, not for my case, nothing can be changed about my case. He got a plea agreement, a joint agreement was put forward, he got a conditional discharge. Richard Oliver needs to stay the hell away from me. Everybody that I work with, my family, my friends, you know, I'm still gonna have a photo of him up in my son's school office, which is horrifying. And yet, you know, that's gonna hopefully help me move the ball downfield, sports analogy, with the Attorney General of British Columbia, and then further up the federal political chain to try and have the criminal code addressed so that others will see some swift and meaningful consequences to those who had harassed them. I mean, you've been following along on this story. It's been a busy couple of weeks.
And it's a must watch and much listen. So you must be getting inundated with these requests, but it's an extremely important topic. Probation.
I have breaking news for you, actually. I got breaking news for you. I haven't said this out loud.
I need to isolate this.
Unmute. Okay, here we go. This morning, I received a letter from the Attorney General of British Columbia, Nikki Sharma. The office has received, I sent a package of documents to the AG and copied in the Premier of British Columbia, who was very supportive on Twitter when this all broke. But I sent all of it. I sent everything that was in my case, all of the transcripts that I had to pay for, by the way, to get my transcripts from my court case. But I put it all together and I made a request that the criminal code be addressed, that there be some direction around criminal harassment. And I heard back from the Attorney General's office this morning, and they have looked at my package of documents, and we are setting up a meeting to discuss. She's also, the office has forwarded it along to the Crown to have a look at what transpired. My victim impact statement's in there, evidence is in there, the transcripts, all of it. So there is more that is going to come of what happened to me. Again, nothing can change in my case. I'm not asking for a privileged, you know, light switch to be flipped for me, but I am going to make it hopefully sooner rather than later, much easier to navigate criminal harassment in British Columbia and hopefully in Canada. But the Attorney General getting back to me is huge, and I'm grateful for their attention. So that's my definite will.
Well, you're causing, I mean, it's such a national story. It's so important to the safety of journalists and just people online in general. This is it's absolutely insane. Like, I know you guys like to joke and have fun with the rights on your show, but every now and again, you know, you could, there's somebody that would probably come on the show or whatever, but it's almost like you're afraid to put anybody on now because of what you say, and then the harassment comes, and there's no protection for that for you guys. And I just, it's so insane. Like, it's just nuts. And
now do scientists though, like that scientists, like I was copied in, Richard Oliver is his name, my harasser. Yeah. I've never shared a photograph of him, and I won't, because I don't want him canceled. I want him counseled. I would like to see him get counseling, not be attacked or harassed, because an eye for an eye is not my jam. Mm-hmm. However, Richard Oliver copied me in on a death threat to Dr. Bonnie Henry, like CC'd me on telling her that she is going down. And I'm like, what is happening here? Pictures of me with a communist flag as a mask. And then a concentration camp like Auschwitz, like me and my son belong here and our day of reckoning is coming. Like, this is ridiculous. And then you see what Professor Peter J. Hotez, vaccinologist at Texas Children's Hospital, like he's a Nobel Peace Prize nominee. Like he was copied in on these emails. Like he's getting attacked by people. The fact that, you know, Jason Kindrachuk, who's the, you know, Canada research chair at the University of Manitoba in infectious diseases, like he was getting attacked by this man. This isn't just about journalists and it's not just about women. It's about how crazy things have gotten. You know, we had Connie Smudge on, drag queen who does drag queen story time, on the same episode that we had David Eby on, our premiere, and all of us had a picture together. You should have seen the comments on social media under that posting. Like, people have lost the plot on civility. You can disagree. Change the channel.
No, I totally agree. It's you know, I have been, what's the term? Alt-middle on a lot of things because I just think it's a great place to live, right? Alt-middle it's a good place to live. But I've told this story on here before. I was one of the first people with COVID in the country, in British Columbia. I was like patient 45, whatever the hell it was. And the amount of hate that I got, speaking of that Brittle Star interview, because we were talking about going viral, and the only time I really went viral was when I announced that I had COVID and everyone thought I was going to die. I went to like 50,000 views in about 2 minutes, and it was the funniest thing. And people are like outside, it's like yelling up at the window, like, it was great to know you. But the hate that I got on the COVID side, and I had to fight because I long hauled on it. And I was on two inhalers, and people were coming at me, and the inhalers are bullshit and this and that. And I'm like, listen, you're welcome to them anytime. And I'm not here to tell you what to do with your life. I will not tell anybody what to do with their life. I take that policy with everything. Like, you know, like just live your life and do whatever. But there is a certain amount of, like, as you said, humility and understanding that needs to happen. And, I'm so sorry that you had to go through all of this stuff, because it's just brought the worst out of every single person on the planet that was in that space, that have just doubled down on being I don't know, awful. And
I see very little of it, I have to tell you. I block early and often. You know, there are people screaming into the wind right now. Yeah. There are people that I am free rent in their brains.
That's the
best. Big time. And that's okay. I'm fine with that. It's when you threaten me over and over, and I blocked this guy. I blocked him and blocked him and blocked him. He would create new email addresses. You know, I never thought in my life that I would hear the words that I did in court. Yeah. Three times they used one email address, jodyswallowswell@gmail.com. Seriously? But he was threatening my son. Like, I'm never getting the tender time back with my son, no matter how much money or whatever that happens here. So I want to make sure that nobody does that to anyone else. If I can save one other person from going through this, it'll be worth it.
Well, I want to wish you all the best with that, because I am a massive supporter of the cause that you're doing, and anything that I can do from this tiny little show to push it out there to help your cause, I will do it every single day as much as I can, Jody. I'm a massive fan of what you're doing. I'm sorry that you had to go through it. Everyone, please listen to Jody's story and listen to and watch that interview. Before I let you go, I was going to ask you about what gives you peace and calm now, but I actually meant to clip this and talk about it earlier on the do section, so I'll trade you a mug for one of these. So you're drawing now, and these are just wonderful. You're doing some art. Is this something that you've always done, or is this a new thing that you're learning? Because they look really new. Really great. It's super new.
Okay, so both of those are not finished yet. I got this one over here because I was trying to learn how to paint horse country, but neither of those paintings are finished. I keep that easel in my living room, and when I just need to unplug, that one is up at the cabin that we went up to, and just playing around, just putting my phone down. That's, I think, the ninth painting I've ever done in my life. Like, I'm just an absolute novice, hashtag crafty painting. But, you know, I love trees. I walk in the trees every day. I've got two dogs, and getting out and moving and breathing and unplugging a little bit and thinking about the good people like you, who are supportive and moving my mind away from those who would try to make me fearful. And that's a big piece of my experience, is I'm not scared of this man anymore. And I'm probably not scared of really anyone anymore, whether that's a good thing or not, because I get out and I realize life is about these small steps forward and large strides forward at the same time. Both can be true. And trying to, you know, pick up a paintbrush and do some crafty painting like that, why not? I mean, it's so imperfect, and that's okay.
I love
I'm perfectly imperfect, right?
Say yes, so you will. Say yes, so you do.
Say yes, so you will. Yes, yes, my friend.
Jody, thank you so much. I want to, maybe we can revisit in a couple of months. I want to see how everything is going.
Sure.
And all the best with the court system, which has its own problems and trying to get things changed. But you were on the forefront of women in media, and hopefully you will be on a big part of the future of protecting people like yourself and journalists and just all people all in general, but on online harassment. I want to wish you all the best with that. And I want to thank you so much for being part of Do Did Will, the Story of People podcast this week. It means a lot to me, so I appreciate it.
Do Did Will. Very cool. Very cool.
Where can people find you online? Just to send them your way.
Steel and Vance is available at checkmedia.ca. All of our episodes live there. We're also a podcast in podcast form, anywhere you get your podcast, STEELE, Steel and Vance, VANCE. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jody Vance, Jody with a Y. I'm filling on CKNW. I'm the Canadian correspondent for Al Jazeera English. I wear a lot of hats, but mostly I'm just around. You can find me. You found me.
I found you, and you answered, and I appreciate it.
I did.
That's Do Did Will for another week, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will see you all next week. Thanks, everybody.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all had.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Mercedes Nickel, four-time Winter Olympian and host of Dropping In, a podcast with Mercedes. This is a podcast where I interview a bunch of different people. I get the good, the bad, and the ugly, as well as I share my stories along the way. Now you can drop in at droppingin.com or subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube. I'll see you soon.